Thank you, Sean. Oh, let's begin with a breath. Oh, breathing is such a good thing. Just let everything go right now. Put everything aside. Just let it go. And let that breath deepen. And allow your body to relax from head to toe. Relaxing your forehead, your brow, your jaw, your shoulders. Let those shoulders melt down. Give yourself the gift of this moment, where in this moment we affirm that God's perfect life is the vitalizing power that heals me. Feel this healing power. Feel it moving in you, through you, and visualize divine energy and light filling your entire body. Feel the vital vibration of healing energy moving freely as the life force in you. In the flow of God, your body is aligning with the healing life within every cell. As you keep relaxing more each moment, each breath, into the current of divine love flowing through you. The presence of God within is my healing power. As I realize this, it helps me to remember my divine wholeness. I keep this realization alive in my beating heart by strengthening and drawing forth my divine essence. I affirm the vitalizing power of God is filling every cell of my body. The vitalizing power of God is filling every cell of my body. I am aglow with healing energy and am perfectly, wondrously made. I remember in the silence, I am whole.
Every summer, that place you're thinking of, the music you remember from when you were in love. Let yourself heal. Let yourself heal, heal. It's easy to feel. Running along the beaches that once belonged to you, a trail of broken memories.
Well, good morning.
I'm glad to be here today. It is Sunday morning, August 15th. We're going to talk about Myrtle Fillmore. Show of hands, who here knows who Myrtle Fillmore is? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Myrtle Fillmore is Unity's co-founder, co-pioneer, as it were, the Unity movement. And it happened out of desperation. It wasn't because Myrtle was so altruistic that she started a new life, a new way of approaching God, a new way of approaching her spirituality, her body, everything about it. She did it because it was do or die. That's really what it came down to, do or die. And once she began her healing journey, which I'll talk about in a moment, she saw things differently. So I thought it would be nice if Leo sang David Friedman's song today, this one. Go ahead, Leo.
Don't be afraid of the dark. Nothing is gonna hurt you. The shadows you see will turn out to be just shadows. Believe me, don't you be scared of the night. Everything's gonna be alright. The sun's gonna rise and you'll be surprised how beautiful things are in a different light. A different light can change the way you look at things. A different light can alter what you see. Fear turns to relief. Joy replaces grief. Doubt becomes belief in a different light. When you're alone in your bed, frightening thoughts can dance in your head. Something you fear or something you hear in the darkness can scare you. Things that go bump in the night sometimes can give you a terrible fright. But it's all in your mind, and you're going to find the world is looking bright in a different light. A different light can change the way you look at things. A different light can alter what you see. Monster's just a chair, no goblin on the stair. You'll see there's nothing there in a different light. So close your eyes and dream sweet dreams and feel the love that's all around you. Nothing scary as it seems. I promise you, you're gonna be alright. You're gonna see the world in a different
Thank you, Leo. That was beautiful, and I'm grateful. Thank you, David Friedman, for writing that song. That is also, I've forgotten which movie that is from now. All of a sudden, he wrote it for a movie. But we're talking about Myrtle Fillmore says. Myrtle Fillmore says, we can always use Myrtle as a weapon, but I prefer to use her as an example. I have a friend whose children don't like me because she uses me as a weapon against her children to try to awaken them and enlighten them. And so, well, Sean says, you know, Reverend Sean said today, and Sean said today, they don't want to hear what Reverend Sean said today. And so they, so when they meet me, when I come to their house, it's like, oh, you're here. and it should be, ooh, Sean is here. The parents are thrilled that I'm there. Children, not so much. But Myrtle Fillmore, we'll do the brief story. Myrtle Fillmore was diagnosed with tuberculosis. She was in Kansas City in 1886. And she went to doctors, and they gave her a final diagnosis, which was you have about three, maybe 6 months to live. So wrap up things and any loose ties, tie them. And she did not care for that diagnosis. Now, this is 1886, Kansas City. But she stopped going to doctors for a while. And I'm not going to tell you not to go to a doctor. Please, let's be clear on this. You go as you are guided by spirit. You do what ought to be done by you. I'm not going to malpractice our spirituality today by telling you that. But what I will tell you is she didn't find the doctor's answer satisfactory. So what I will tell you is doctors do not have the final say in your being. And I think it's very important that we remember that. The doctors don't have the final say. Medicine does not have the final say. You, in your spirituality, have the final say. And it's not, oh, I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not getting well. It's you in your spirituality. So use Myrtle's example. I mean, it's really pretty fantastic. But so she went to talk to other people. She went to churches, and she didn't hear what she wanted to hear. Finally, she went to hear a lecture one night given by a man named E.B. Weeks, who came out of the Emma Curtis Hopkins Metaphysical Bible College, Metaphysical College. And obviously, they taught metaphysics, and they taught people how to be metaphysical practitioners. And so what E.B. Weeks said that night is, I am a child of God. Therefore, I do not inherit sickness. And that became Myrtle Fillmore's theme. And it is our foundation statement of the Unity Movement. I am a child of God. Therefore, I do not inherit sickness. And she went home, and she clearly had spoken to some other people, though, because she had a few other things to do. One was she was to get still every day and make the statement, I am a child of God. And therefore, I do not inherit sickness. Why? Because in God, there is no sickness. Sickness is a temporary phenomenon in many ways. It's a temporary condition based on temporary thoughts. So she did that. And then she was instructed to forgive herself. Apologize once to her body for having called it sick, for having told it to her body untrue things about it. But only once, because if you keep apologizing, then you just keep reinforcing the mistaken thought. So you go from there to, I apologize, to the forgiveness and then the praise. To praise one's body day after day after day. To praise all the cells and the brain and everything and the eyes and the ears and the vision and the sight. Praise the heart. Praise the heart, praise the whole body, head to toe, toe to head. And you do that day after day after day. There's a reason for that. Our bodies, there are cells in our bodies. I imagine you know that. Do you also know that there's intelligence in all the cells of our body? And so the intelligence hears. It hears what we think. It hears what we say. Praise it, the cells are going to respond to that. The superconscious mind is going to respond to that kind of praise. You know, I am good, I am whole, I am free, God is healing me now, things like that. And so it took 2 years and she got well. So in 1889 is considered the technical beginning, the legal beginning of Unity Movement with the first publication, The Thought Magazine. But 1886 is the unofficial beginning of Unity, and it's where Myrtle Fillmore heard and began her healing journey. I am a child of God, and I do not inherit sickness. And it took 2 years. She started a prayer circle around her kitchen table. It took 2 years until there were no signs of the tuberculosis in her being any longer. And so She was a different light. She saw things in a different light. And what Myrtle says is the light of God revealed to us. And then she says, hyphen, the thought came to me first that life was of God, that we were inseparably one with the source, and that we inherited from the divine and perfect, she calls it Father, you could also call it God, could call it source again if you want principle. What that revelation did to me at first was not apparent to the senses, but it held my mind above negation, and I began to claim my birthright and to act as though I believed myself the child of God filled with God's life. I gained. Others saw that there was something new in me. They asked me to share it, and I did. Others were healed and began to study. My husband continued his business and at first took little interest in what I was doing. But after a time, he became absorbed in the study of truth, capital T, truth, as well. We consecrated ourselves to the Lord, meaning the law, and kept doing daily that which we felt led to do. We began to prosper a little at a time, and our health continued to improve. There is so much in that paragraph for each and every one of us. And I'll tell you about what is for me and what it continues to be for me is I had to make an assumption about God. And the assumption is that God is. God just is. And God is good. And I am what God is. Therefore, I is God as well. And our I am-ness, God am good, I am good. So you can go with it that way. And what I proved many times over the years is that when I move forward, knowing that as God is for me, everything is for me, I just assume healings will take place. And so far, they always have. I assume that prosperity will prevail, and it always does. I assume that harmony will come through any sense of inharmony, let's say. Provided I follow through with prayer, with the right action, with the right thoughts. And so she says, we consecrated ourselves to the Lord, and as I like to interpret Lord meaning law, and kept doing daily that which we felt led to do. They continued doing daily that which we felt led to do. That's so important. It's not what you feel like doing, it's what you are led to do, your divine guidance. And that's what she said. And she said, we began to prosper little at a time, and our health continued to improve. And next she says, life became sweeter and more interesting. And we began to see a new world. In all these years, our interest has not lagged, and we have continued to enjoy the unfoldment of God's plan in our lives. What I don't know if you yet know what God's plan for you is. I just assume God's plan for me, God's will for me, is to be happy, joyous, and free. And so any day that I don't think I'm happy, joyous, and free, it's not because God is unwilling. It's because I'm not paying attention. And I'm so glad to say that out loud right now. It's not because God's plan has changed. It's because I'm not paying attention. Any day that I'm not happy, joyous, and free. I'm not talking about gleeful. I'm not talking about giddy. I'm talking about happy, joyous, and free. Meaning I know. I just know and I don't have to worry. If I'm not in that state, it's because I'm not paying attention. Great stuff there. The unfoldment of God's plan. She goes on to say, our success and satisfaction in business, in home, in our social lives is always greater when we take Christ Jesus as our partner. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why not follow in the footsteps of one who has demonstrated and proved every step of the way? You'll notice there that she does not say, why not worship one? She says, why not follow in the footsteps as of one who has demonstrated and proved every step of the way? See, they studied the actions of Jesus, not the words about Jesus so much as the actions of Jesus. He did this, this happened. He did this, he did this, he said this. And when they said this, this happened. And when they said this, Jesus taught us. Jesus absolutely gave us a beautiful plan of I'll call redemption. Not redemption because we are so bad, but redemption for our own mind, not to please God, but to please ourselves. And the true redemption is forgiveness. To forgive ourselves, to forgive all beings. And what that means is to stop regretting the past. So how do I do that? Practice. Practice continued prayer, continued willingness. Practice, practice, practice. Interrupt the thoughts of unforgiveness. And then she said, so when we take Christ Jesus, meaning the risen man, to Christ, as many of you know who study with me, you remember that what I've said, Christ is our sonship. Christ is the Christ is the Son of God, as opposed to Jesus. It is the Christ that is the Son of God. And so we want to take that into partnership with our egoic mind so that we can rise up. Christ in you. The hope of glory. It doesn't say Jesus in you. It says the Christ in you, the hope of glory. She reminds us, though, sometimes we pray to a God outside of ourselves. It is the God in the midst of us that frees and heals. She says prayer is an exercise to change our thought habits and our living habits that we may say that set up a new and better activity in accord with the divine law rather than with the suggestions we have received from various sources. I'm going to read this again. Prayer is an exercise to change our thought habits and our living habits that we may set up a new and better activity in accord with the divine law rather than with the suggestions we have received from various sources. Now, I know this is a various source, but I trust it. So I'm going to read from what she wrote here on page 17 of Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters. And she says, it is not enough to pray. Prayer is one step that you take, but you need other steps. You need to think of God, the all-powerful healer, as being already within you, in every part of your mind, heart, and body, to keep one's attention and prayers in the spiritual realm of mind, without letting them work out into the soul's expression and into the actual physical doing of that which corresponds with what the mind and heart has thought and spoken and prayed. To keep declaring love and power and life and substance and yet unconsciously, perhaps assuming limitations and living them will cause explosions and congestion that work out in the physical. We need to harmonize our thinking and our prayers with actual living experiences. We need to harmonize our thinking and our prayers with actual living experiences, meaning we have to become practitioners. I know it's a term, I don't know if it's bandied about much or anymore or not. I use it. I like it. I am a practitioner. I'm also a spiritual scientist, as you are. We're all spiritual scientists here in that we put a little of this in this and a little of this in that, and we see how it works out. For years, I experimented with the way I prayed to see what would be the most effective. I experimented, I took classes, I talked to other people, but it was still me who had to go back and pray and see what I believed when I prayed. And what I discovered is as long as I keep begging God for stuff, I am affirming the absence of it. Myrtle didn't sit down every day and say, oh, please, God, heal me now, because that would just be affirming I'm not healed. One must pray as if, one must give thanks. One must be grateful all the time, or as often as one is able to and willing to, to keep looking at that. And it's a tough one. She says, she goes on to say, we have a very decided part. We are to cease worrying and being anxious and thinking and speaking of the past and of the apparent lack and idleness. Do you hear that? We are to cease worrying. We are to cease being anxious. We are to cease thinking and speaking of the past and of the apparent lack and idleness. We are to concentrate all our attention upon the truth of God and the truth of our own being, upon the very things we would see taking place in our lives. We cannot do this so long as we have negative thoughts in our hearts. I know a lot of us were quite abused as children. A lot of us. And it still hurts. We weren't seen. And we weren't seen by people who weren't able to see us. And we weren't seen by people who weren't able to see themselves. And we have to stop complaining and demanding that it not have happened. And that is so much of our pain. We're trying to make it not have happened. And there is a way to do that, but it will have to work differently than perhaps the way you have tried. To make it not have happened is to rewrite the definitions you have given to it and go to God. You probably can't make the facts change, but you can make the intentions change in your mind. And you don't have to do it to yourself anymore. You don't have to keep coming back and hurting yourself. Rethink it, and rethink it with God. Rethink it with the Christ in you awakened now. Rethink it with life awakened in you now. Rethink it with a desire to heal and experience yourself as a whole, complete being. You know, rethink your past and let those people off the hook. And most of all, let yourself off the hook for what they did and what you experienced. Create a new experience today. And that's what she's talking there. We cannot do this so long as we have negative thoughts in our hearts. And the problem is so many people, they beat themselves up because, oh, I have this negative thinking and I shouldn't have this negative thinking. Well, you do. And you got to forgive yourself for that and realize, oh, I have this negative thinking because I am misthinking it. I am thinking it unto myself instead of thinking it with God. Don't make up God's thoughts. Go within. Get quiet. Holy Spirit, tell me what to think about this. You know, just to... Spirit, I am open and willing to rethink my entire past if that is how I can align with my God self. Imagine, let that be your prayer. Let that be what you do in order to have what is promised by our antecedents of new thought, what is promised by Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, what is promised by Mae Rowland, what is promised by Ernest Holmes, what is promised by so many, Emmett Fox and what have you. Now she goes on here, beautiful affirmation. God is the one perfect life flowing through us. Now, remember, we got to get on board with this God thing. Because God, don't just say it at random. Oh, it's because it's what you've always said. God is a word we have made up. You could just as easily substitute the word God for love is the one perfect life flowing through us. Principle is the one perfect life flowing through us. Spirit is the one perfect life flowing through us. Don't get bogged down by the word God. You don't have to. God, I use the word God. I like it. So God is the one pure substance out of which our organism is formed. God is the power that gives us motive power, the strength that holds us upright and allows us to exercise our members, the wisdom that gives us intelligence in every cell of our organism, every thought of our minds. God is the only reality of us. All else is but a shadow that is cast by some foolish belief or unwise combination of thoughts and the elements of our being. When we let light flood us with its sunshine, all clouds vanish, and we begin to see ourselves in new ways of doing, which lead to wholeness and health and satisfaction and growth. So, God is the one perfect life flowing through us. Isn't that a nice thought? God is the one for it. Love is the one perfect life flowing through me. God is the one pure substance out of which my organism is formed. But you can share that with your brothers and sisters on each side of you. You know, God is the one pure substance. Love is the one pure substance. Principle is the one pure substance. There's so many life-giving ways to view yourself, to view your brothers and your sisters. And so to start to, if you're not already, sorry, I don't mean to offend, to insult, really, anyone who's not already doing this, and you're, but anybody who's still struggling or needs an extra reminder, you just gotta make certain assumptions that there is more to life and love than what you think. God, what we call God, what is God, is so much bigger than what you have ever imagined it to be, and it's kinder. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said that greater is that which is in the invisible realm than that which is in the visible. And so start to think, especially if you're doubting in any way that you could thrive, that you could live in harmony, that you could live in peace and goodwill. Now, remember what I say, the one thing that your abundant good will cost you is your lack. You're going to have to give up your lack. You're going to have to give up hating any and all politicians. You're going to have to give up hating yourself. You're going to have to give up hating your parents. You're going to have to give up hating your grandparents. You're going to have to give up hating where you live. You're going to have to give up hating anything that you hate. It will, your abundance, your love, your peace, your joy, that's what it's going to rob you of, is your misery. I've seen misery with claw marks on it. You know, you're not going to take this away from me. I just wanted it to be more manageable. I didn't want to heal from it. I didn't want it to be gone. Now I don't know who I am or what I am. And that's okay. Get busy praying. Get busy praying. Here is Myrtle's statement of faith. And it says, God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of this day. I now am wise. I now am true, patient and kind and loving too. All things I am, can do and be through Christ, the truth that is in me. God is my health. I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing quick. God is my all. I know no fear, since God and love and truth are here. So our next song is making a suggestion that there is so much more and so much different than the way we have been thinking. I encourage all of us to stay open to an expansion of our thought. Professor Leo?
I have asked Professor Leo to come and present an example. Professor Leo? Present for us today an example of how to be and discern the difference between settling for less. Professor Leo.
Yes, so today's lesson is about how to become your full potential. Do you know what that lesson is?
No, but I hope you'll tell us.
Don't be a leaf if you can be the tree. Don't be a rainbow if you can be the sea. For a leaf may fall, but the tree remains. It may never rain at all, but the sea remains. Better to be the tree and the sea.
See?
Don't be a cloud if you can be the sky. Don't be a feather, be a bird and fly. Clouds roll by, but the sky rolls on. A bird can fly with a feather gone. Bird in the sky on the deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the sail if you can be the boat. Don't be the lining if you can be the coat. You may lose a sail, but a boat will float. And a coat without a lining is still a coat. Better to be the boat and the coat.
Quote!
Don't be the stick if you can be the drum. Don't be the sugar, be the plum by gum. You can break a stick, but a drum will beat. Without sugar, folks, comes a bunch of wheat. Better to be the drum by the coat, boat, the bird, the sky, the tree. And the deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. be the moo if you can be the cow. Don't be the furrow if you can be the plow. Cause you can't get milk from a moo, no way. And a frozen rock with a plow's okay. Better to be the plow and the cow.
Wow.
Now, don't be the sting if you can be the bee. Don't be a two if you can be the three. Sting can make you a honey bun. Take two from three and you still get one. Better to be the three and the bee and the cow and the plow and the drum and the drum and the broke the first by three and the deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the string if you can be the kite. But don't be the darkness if you can be the light. For the string may fall, the kite may kite, kite. Better to be the kite and the light. Right, don't be the tail if you can be the dog. Don't be the bump if you can be the log. You can wag his tail, but you can't wag me without a troop. Ready? Don't it be the dog and the log and the kite and the lion and the tree and the bee and the cow and the fox and the drum and the plow and the goat and the bull and the bird and the sky and the sea and the sheep and the tree. So be everything less than everything you can be.
Professor Tanaka.